intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, the Washington Post, BehindTheHedges.com, Humane World for Animals, Petster, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article from the New York Times by Emily Anthes, titled, In a Toxic World, Pets Could Be Vital Health Watchdogs. A better understanding of how pollution affects pets could benefit humans and animals alike. On a frigid February night in 2023, a freight train carrying toxic chemicals derailed in East Palestine, Ohio. For days, the train's hazardous contents spilled into the surrounding soil, water, and air. It was an environmental and public health catastrophe, and efforts are underway to monitor the long-term health effects on the people of East Palestine. But one team of scientists is focused on a different group of local residents, the dogs. After the derailment, the researchers recruited dog owners in and around East Palestine, asking them to attach chemical-absorbing silicone tags to their pets' collars. The preliminary results, which have not yet been published, suggest that dogs living closest to the crash site were exposed to unusually high levels of certain chemicals. The researchers are now analyzing blood samples from the dogs to determine whether the chemicals may have triggered genetic changes associated with cancer. This is what we should be doing in the wake of any of these disasters, says Eleanor Carlson, a geneticist at UMass Chan Medical School and the Broad Institute, who is leading the research. The pets that live in our homes are being exposed to the same things we're going to be exposed to. Our pets breathe the same air, drink the same water, and often sleep in the same beds that we do. And yet, there is relatively little research on how environmental toxins and pollutants affect our animal companions. That is an enormous missed opportunity, experts said. Our pets, they argued, are ideally situated to act as environmental health sentinels, helping scientists identify hazards that transcend species barriers. Understanding more about how pollution affects pets could ultimately yield insights that improve both animal and human health. I do like to use the analogy of the canary in the coal mine, with this one distinction, which is that canaries were sacrificial, said Dr. Audrey Ruppel, a veterinary epidemiologist at Virginia Tech. Our dogs are not. We care deeply about our companion dogs and our companion animals. The air out there. In 2020, California experienced a record-setting wildfire season, one that often left the skies filled with smoke. On particularly bad days, Stephen Jarvis, a graduate student in the Bay Area, found himself with headaches, irritated eyes, shortness of breath, and even chest pains. He also noticed the effects in his partner's asthmatic cat, Manolo. On days when the air quality was worse, his symptoms would flare and he would have a hard time breathing, Dr. Jarvis said. Last week, Dr. Jarvis, now an assistant professor at the London School of Economics, published a paper suggesting that Manolo's breathing problems were not a one-off. He and his colleagues reviewed 5 years of veterinary data from across Britain, alongside data with levels of airborne fine particulate matter, which is one of the main pollutants in wildfire smoke and a well-known human health hazard. When air pollution rose, so did the number of veterinary visits for cats and dogs, the researchers found. If the nation kept air pollution below the threshold recommended by the World Health Organization, it could prevent between 80,000 and 290,000 vet visits per year, they concluded. That's a lot of angst and a lot of money off the table for pet owners, Dr. Jarvis said. It's a sobering finding, especially given the fact that climate change and intensifying wildfires are expected to make air quality worse in the coming decades. When we are considering how to protect ourselves from unhealthy air, we should also be thinking about our pets and wildlife, said Olivia Sanderfoot, an ecologist at Cornell who studies the effects of smoke on wild animals. Smoke inhalation can cause an array of respiratory problems in animals, including coughing and shortness of breath. Studies have also begun to link wildfire smoke to other health consequences, including eye infections and cellular stress in dogs and heart problems and blood clots in cats. Birds are especially vulnerable because they are highly efficient breathers, extracting more oxygen from the air than mammals do. Unfortunately, Dr. Sanderfoot said that means that they are also processing higher concentrations of all that nasty stuff in polluted air. They are more sensitive overall to air pollution than we are. Heavy burdens. Cats and dogs who tend to spend a lot of time on or near the ground could be at elevated risk from other chemical contaminants. Compared to humans, they may have more exposure to cancer-causing chemicals used in lawn care or heavy metals like lead that tend to accumulate in household dust. In 2014, when lead began leaching into the drinking water in Flint, Michigan, there was reason to believe that pets were especially vulnerable. Unlike people, pets usually subsist wholly on tap water, says John Buchweitz, a veterinary toxicologist at Michigan State University. After Dr. Buchweitz and his colleagues set up lead screening clinics for local dogs, they found several animals whose results were of extreme concern, including three Australian shepherds all living in the same household. The dogs had all been losing weight and behaving strangely, and all three had elevated lead levels in their blood. Dr. Buchweitz was alarmed. He knew that the family living there also had young children. I personally reached out, contacted the health department, and said, "This house needs to be investigated," he recalled. Officials subsequently found that the drinking water at that home contained enough lead to pose a clear danger to both people and animals. Known unknowns. Although a chemical spill, wildfire, or water crisis can present an acute immediate health risk, many environmental health hazards are harder to identify. Does regular low-level exposure to a particular pollutant, for instance, increase someone's lifetime cancer risk? Pets have shorter lives than people and are more likely to live them out in a single geographic location, making it easier for scientists to tease out some of these subtle effects. Plus, the devotion of pet owners helps facilitate data collection, experts said. People are worried about their pets, says Dr. Carlson, who leads Darwin's Dogs, a large community science project that aims to identify the genetic environmental contributors to canine health and behavior. And as a scientist, that's an opportunity, because if people are concerned about it, then they're going to help us with the work. Tens of thousands of American dog owners have enrolled their pets in Darwin's Dogs, and similar initiatives, including the Dog Aging Project and the Golden Retriever Lifetime Study. Among other data, these projects are collecting information on some of these dogs' everyday exposure to chemicals, measuring the levels of herbicides in their urine, mailing out silicone chemical-absorbing dog tags, and asking owners to submit samples of their dog's drinking water. To Dr. Ruppel, who led the Dog Aging Project's pilot studies with silicone tags and drinking water, the owners seem more eager to participate than they would have been in the research of their own environmental health risks. "I think that people are quite suspicious of science at this point in time," she said, "but their love for their dogs overrides whatever distrust they might have. And the dogs, in turn, can give back, helping scientists identify chemicals that put both humans and animals at risk. After all," Dr. Ruppel noted, "the word sentinel refers to someone whose job is keeping watch. That's what we've always used dogs for," she said, "guardians of our livestock, guardians of our family, guardians of our homes. And in a toxic world, perhaps, guardians of our health." Next, we'll move on to Washington Post, Ask a Vet by Jane Sykes. Question: is it okay to let my pet sleep in my bed? Answer: sleeping with pets isn't new. People have been doing it for thousands of years for warmth and protection from predators. The term three-dog night, which describes a night so cold that three dogs are needed for warmth, is thought to have been coined by Australian Aboriginal people who slept with dingoes. Now that we have heat, locking doors, and other modern conveniences, we no longer need a dingo to keep us safe and warm. But many people, about half of pet owners, still share a bed with their pet. For most people, that's perfectly fine. In some situations, though, pets can disturb sleep, trigger allergies, and bring ticks, fleas, and germs into bed. You have to decide whether the pros and cons of co-sleeping outweigh the cons, but you can set yourself up for success by keeping your pet healthy and creating conditions that minimize sleep disturbance. Are there health benefits? In some cases, yes. Trained service dogs can bring relief from terrifying nightmares for people with post-traumatic stress disorder. Sleeping with pets can also provide comfort and reduce anxiety and loneliness. Other potential health benefits of close contact with pets, including co-sleeping, include improved cardiovascular health, especially reduced blood pressure. Does it affect your sleep? Well, yes. Having a pet in your bed with you can disrupt your sleep, and it's well documented that not getting enough sleep can affect your health. Any of the health benefits of pet contact are likely to be negated if you're not getting restorative quality sleep, says Allison Brager, who studies sleep cycles at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Your sleep is more likely to be disrupted if you have a very large, sprawling, or hyperactive dog, multiple pets in the bed, a sick pet or puppy that needs to be let out often, a pet that lies very close to you or perhaps even on your face, or a cat. Cats might be more likely to disrupt sleep than dogs because they're more active at night. Exhaustive owners have plenty of tales of cats howling for hours, nibbling or pawing at their faces, or pacing and deliberately knocking things over. But dogs also have quirks. The cycle through REM, rapid eye movement sleep, and wakefulness happens way more often than humans. So if you have a dog that paddles and twitches violently while dreaming, like my dog, your sleep might be disrupted as often as 20 times a night. If you're a lousy sleeper, sharing your bed with your pet might not negatively impact. If you're already a lousy sleeper, sharing your bed with your pet might negatively impact your sleep quality. For women, who are more likely to have insomnia than men, and people with chronic pain, the relaxing effect of co-sleeping with a pet might even result in a better night's sleep. Can it lead to other health problems? Pets can bring dander, cat saliva, plant components, even poison oak and mold spores into the bed with you, which can trigger an allergic reaction. They can also carry mites, ticks, and fleas, which bite humans and can transmit diseases like Lyme disease, rickettsiosis, and even plague. And co-sleeping could put immunocompromised people and those who have open wounds or medical devices at greater risk of bacterial infections. It's also best not to let pets sleep with infants. Although it is not well studied, having a pet in bed with you might also have negative effects on intimacy with your human bed partner, especially if your partner would rather have a pet-free bed. How can I make it easier? First off, make sure you have a bed that's large enough to accommodate everyone, and keep your thermostat at a comfortable temperature. Most people sleep best between 65 and 68 degrees. You can also minimize allergens, parasites, and bacteria. I recommend washing and changing your bedding at least weekly, more often if your pet spends a lot of time outdoors, sheds a lot, or has been ill. You should also bathe your pet regularly. For reluctant cats, that is, most cats, wipe them down before bed with a clean, damp cloth to remove dander, loose hair, and saliva. See your vet for a regular parasite prevention program that's tailored to your region. Take your dog out for a bathroom break just before bedtime. Your dog might also sleep more soundly after some exercise. And settle to a bedtime routine to help your pet settle down. If you're not sure if your pet is impacting your sleep, consider using a personal sleep monitoring device when your pet is on and off the bed. If you sleep poorly with your pet in the bed, if you have a disgruntled partner, if you're immunocompromised, it might be best to transition your pet to its own bed, either in the same room or another part of the house. Next, we'll move on to BehindTheHedges.com. We have an article about pet-friendly holiday decorating by the Behind the Hedges staff. Decorating is one of the great joys of the holiday season. Stores adorn their front-facing windows with amazing displays, and homeowners often deck out residences from top to bottom with all measures of holiday wonderment. Approximately 94 million households in the United States feature a pet, according to the American Pet Products Association. Many of those households will be decorating for the holidays and must figure out ways to keep their homes safe for all residents, including those covered in fur. These tips can ensure a pet-friendly season with lots of holiday decor. Choose shatterproof decorations. Select shatterproof ornaments and other decorative items that are durable and non-toxic. Items made from felt, fabric, or wood tend to be safer than items that can break. Pick pet-friendly plants. Poinsettias and mistletoe may be traditional, but they can be toxic to pets. Additional options like Christmas cactus can be safer. Artificial plants are another alternative to consider. Opt out of open flames. It is best to avoid traditional candles when pets are around. Instead, there are plenty of those powered by LED lights that even mimic the flicker of real candles. Avoid tinsel and ribbons. Digestive issues or blockages can affect pets who ingest tinsel or ribbons. Select pet-safe ribbons or garlands and skip the tinsel entirely. Avoid edible decor. Candy canes on trees or popcorn garlands are festive, but they may prove too tempting for pets to resist. Animals can get sick and may knock over the Christmas tree or other items to access the food. Secure decorative items. It's hard to think about Christmas, but position the Christmas tree in an area that is not easily accessible. Avoid putting it near furniture that it can be used as a jumping off point. Make sure the tree stand is sturdy enough to prevent tipping, and consider using wire or string to tie the tree to the ceiling or wall anchor for further stability. Mind the scents. Some fragrances can be overwhelming or irritating for pets, so using scented diffusers or plug-ins sparingly. A simmering pot of cloves, cinnamon sticks, and orange rinds can create a welcoming, all-natural aroma. Create a sanctuary. Try not to move too many of the pet's creature comforts, such as favorite toys or bedding. If you must move these items out of the way, gradually introduce the pet to his or her new area, which can be set away from the hustle of the main entertaining area. A pet-friendly holiday season involves being mindful of pet safety while decorating. Next, we'll move on to the humaneworld.org. Halloween safety tips for your pets. Pet costumes can be fun if you consider them from your pet's point of view. Some pets love the hustle and bustle of Halloween, while others will find this spooky holiday a bit stressful. We recognize that animals are individuals, so while you enjoy your festivities, consider it from your pet's perspective. A dog's natural instinct is to protect our home or to alert you that a stranger has arrived. Well, cats typically prefer a quiet environment with their family. Trick-or-treaters continually knocking on the door or ringing the bell can be very stressful to both dogs and cats. Read on for our tips and tricks on taking the terror out of your pet's Halloween. 1. Halloween hype causes pet stress. Before the trick-or-treating starts, put your pets in a quiet room where they will be safe from all the Halloween activity. If your pup is likely to try to run out the front door and is comfortable in a crate, consider putting them in the crate with a treat-filled toy and some soft music playing in the background. A spritz of a feline pheromone spray may help keep your cats calm. Minimize noise by sitting outside to keep the trick-or-treaters from knocking on the door or ringing the bell. Even if you're just having friends over for a Halloween party, keep your pets away from the festivities in their safe room. Masks and costumes change how people look and smell to a pet, so even familiar people may become frightening. Put a sign on the door to the safe room so your guests know it's off limits. When going trick-or-treating, leave your dog at home. Dogs can be easily excited by the Halloween commotion, and a bite or a lost dog would quickly end the evening's fun. 2. Halloween candy. A treat for you, a trick for your pets. Pre-Halloween and during trick-or-treating, keep candy safely stashed in a high cabinet secured with a lock or child safety latch. Many foods, such as chocolate gum and xylitol, a sweetener used in many foods, are hazardous to pets. Watch your kids. Children may make the harmful mistake of sharing their loot. Make sure that they know the difference between a treat for them and a treat for their four-legged friends. Keep the 24-hour ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center hotline handy. 1-888-426-4435. The hotline may charge a consultation fee. If you suspect your pet has eaten something that's bad for them, call your veterinarian or the Poison Control Center immediately. Pumpkin can be good for dogs and cats, but too much can cause digestive issues. Rotting pumpkins may harbor bad bacteria. Keep jack-o'-lanterns safely away from becoming your pet's holiday snack. 3. Steer your pets away from dangerous Halloween decorations. Introduce your pets to their safe room before you decorate indoors. Changes to your home can make your pets, especially cats, nervous or frightened, or they may decide those fake spiders pose an existential threat and need to be killed. Be aware of which decorations pose threats. Some hazards are obvious, like lit candles, fire hazards, and toxics to birds if scented. Other potentially dangerous decorations include rubber eyeballs, choking risks, glow sticks, and flake blood, possible poisons, fake cobwebs can choke or entangle pets and wildlife, potpourri, toxic to birds, and strung lights. Watch out for those candy wrappers and plastic packaging, too. Create pet-friendly holiday decor. Make your cat a haunted house out of cardboard boxes or put cat treats and toys in paper bag for a feline version of trick-or-treat. 4. Be cautious with pet Halloween costumes. If you choose a costume for your pet, consider your pet's personality and what type of costume they may tolerate and for how long. Masks and hats that fit around their face, for example, may be okay for the length of time it takes to snap a quick pic, but they can pose dangers and make your pet feel uncomfortable. Best to keep pet costumes minimal. Keep an eye on your costume pet to make sure that the costume is comfortable and allows your pet to move freely. Also, be sure to remove any chewable parts or objects that could come off and choke your pet. If your pet appears uncomfortable, take off the costume. Signs of discomfort include folded down ears, eyes rolling back or looking sideways, a tucked tail, or hunching over. 5. Protect your pets from outdoor dangers. Bring your pets indoors before night falls. Cats are always safest inside with you, but on Halloween, it's especially important to secure all pets inside so they don't run away out of fear of adults and children in costumes. If they escape, make sure that all your pets are wearing tags with current IDs and that their microchip is registered with your most up-to-date information. Opening the door repeatedly for trick-or-treaters creates plenty of opportunities for a pet to slip outside and disappear into the night. Proper ID will help you reunite with your lost pet. Also, take a recent picture of your pet that can be used for lost flyers just in case. Be aware that not all wild creatures outside will be wearing costumes. You may see nocturnal animals such as raccoons, opossums, and foxes foraging for food while you're trick-or-treating or walking from your car to a party. Next, we'll move on to Catster.com, and we'll read an article titled "The Catman of Maui, Saving Hawaii's Stray Cats Against All the Odds" by Dr. Karen Kanowski. When you think about Hawaii, you invariably picture sparkling blue water, sun-kissed sandy beaches, luxury resorts, and lush rainforests. But hidden behind this idyllic veneer is a side of the tropical paradise you probably aren't aware of, a stray cat population 500,000 strong. Given Hawaii's geographical isolation, the staggering number of feral felines has originated wholly from the introduction of cats from the mainland and is now one of the largest feral cat populations in the world. Irresponsible ownership and abandonment have allowed the population to explode, leading not only to the suffering of cats in question, but also to the decimation of native wildlife. Organizations like Maui Humane Society work tirelessly to manage these overwhelming numbers, but as is often the case, there never seems to be enough money or people to make large enough dent in the seemingly insurmountable problem, something one Maui resident, Mike Moliniski, decided to do something about, becoming the Catman of Maui. No stranger to animals in need, Mike started volunteering with animal rescue organizations at a young age. When he moved from Los Angeles to Maui in 2006, he assumed that things would be a little quieter. It just took 2 nights for this illusion to be shattered by the appearance of a mother cat and her 2 kittens at his door. Mike wasted no time getting back into cat rescue mode. I quickly realized Hawaii was years behind in terms of animal rights and support. We urgently needed more resources and consistent public messaging to create real, lasting change. It's a harsh reality that most cats on the island didn't make it past their first year due to a combination of starvation, dehydration, road accidents, and deliberate killing by humans. Despite this, the feline population continues to rise, which is why Mike and his nonprofit organization, Save Maui Cats, are on a mission to use the Trap, Neuter, Return, Manage, TNRM, approach to tackle stray cat numbers. The TNRM method is widely regarded as a more effective, not to mention humane, way to bring feral cat populations under control. Capture or cull techniques often result in population explosions, as lowered cat numbers and increased resources lead to reproductive booms and migration of individuals from other areas. By contrast, TNRM encourages stability within colonies, whilst gradually reducing the number of breeding cats. Socialized cats and kittens are rehomed as pets, and the majority are returned to their colonies once they have been spayed, neutered, vaccinated, and ear-tipped to allow for easy identification of treated individuals. By July 2023, the volunteers of Save Maui Cats were caring for around 450 sterilized cats across 72 locations every night. In August 2023, deadly wildfires devastated the island and 150 cats were lost. Today, the team continues to look after 300 cats over 32 locations. Despite facing obstacle after obstacle, Mike remains dedicated to the cause. "I do this because no one else is and because these animals deserve better. We don't take days off, not for injury, illness, or even during natural disasters. These cats depend on us. New law, new problems." Now Mike faces yet another devastating blow, this time in the form of a new law. Passed in early August by the Hawaii County Council, Bill 51 prohibits the feeding of feral animals, including cats, on a county property. Set to take effect January 1, 2026, the bill imposes escalating fines on violators and is framed as a public health and environmental measure. Maui and Hawaii are tourist paradises, but people won't keep coming if they see starving cats dying in the streets, said Mike. Our work reduces suffering, controls the population, and actually prevents the exact problems tourism offices are so worried about. But this bill ties our hands, and in doing so, it risks making the island less welcoming for everyone. He points to the failure of a similar initiative on neighboring Kauai. They spent $1.3 million trying to eradicate all stray cats, including fixed ones, and killed 12,000. Within 2 years, 10,000 were back. Rescuers were asked to step in again. Many refused. They didn't just fail, they set themselves back by decades. In contrast, the success of Lanai Cat Sanctuary is a perfect example of successful and humane feral cat management. Home to around 700 cats, the sanctuary has become one of Hawaii's most popular visitor destinations. Save Maui Cats is urging concerned travelers, animal lovers, and Maui residents to contact Hawaii's tourism and government leaders and ask them to support humane, effective solutions over harmful policies. That would be the HawaiianTourismAuthority.org, MauiVCB.org, Mayor Richard T. Besson Jr., which is MauiCounty.gov. How you can help. Mike receives no support from national animal welfare groups. His efforts rely entirely on donations, local volunteers, and his own bank account. We have devoted nearly $500,000 and sacrificed 2 decades of our lives making this difference. Through our passionate and dedicated work, we have helped fix thousands of cats and have helped stabilize West Maui, but we need your help now to continue. Please check out SaveMauiCats.org and please share. Even a little help can make a huge difference for so many. Now we'll quickly move on to a quick question from Ask Dr. Paula from Dogster.com. Hi, Dr. Paula. How often should I cut my dog's nails? Is it okay to let them grow a bit? My Izzy is a medium-sized dog. She's a Border Collie mix, adopted, rescued, so we aren't sure. Plays outside lots, but I'm not sure how often to trim them. She's not bothered when I do it. Victoria. Hi, Victoria. Nail care is an important part of keeping Izzy comfortable and mobile. A good guide is that her nails should not touch the ground when she's standing still. If they grow too long, they change how the paw lands, and over time, this can strain her joints, much like wearing shoes that are too long or forcing you to change the way you walk. Even though outdoor play can help wear them down, it's still best to check her nails regularly, about every couple weeks. If you hear clicking on the floor, see nails beginning to curve, or notice the dew claws, the nails higher on the leg, getting long, it's time for a trim. Another reason to stay on top of trimming is the quick, which is the blood supply inside the nail. When the nails grow too long, the quick also extends, making it harder to bring them back to a healthy length without discomfort. Regular trims keeps the quick shorter so the process stays easy and painless. Since Izzy is already relaxed with nail care, keeping this routine will support her posture and joint health well into the future. I hope this helps. Dr. Paula. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.